Well, Chandler Church, it was at the darkest moment of the Great Depression that former United States President Franklin Delano Roosevelt spoke these words during his first inaugural address. And he said this, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance." That's what he said. And it was those wide words of President Roosevelt that served to reassure Americans during our country's most destitute moment that our country could and would prevail over adversity if we would only confront the uncertainties of our future in a sane and rational manner, as opposed to giving in to the panic that so easily besets us during the most tumultuous of times. And although, Chandler Church, as a country, collectively, we have overcome our first Great Depression, individually, it would seem that almost on a daily basis, each and every day, there are more than enough little depressions that we face to bring us down and to cause us to fear for our future. It would seem like there is always something left in this world for us to worry about, and the opportunity to realize just how right President Roosevelt's principle of succumbing to our fears really is. See, when we succumb to our fear and we give in to our panic, it's usually, Chandler Church, at that time when we've made that mistake that we finally realize that our fears were unreasonable, that they were unjustified, that they were in fact unnecessary. It's usually at that time when we can trace all of our emotions and our steps back to realize that a simple doubt became a thought, and that thought became a fear, and that fear became a panic, and our panic led to a poor choice or a decision. And usually, when it's all said and done, when we look back on it, the consequences of that poor decision was far worse than the perceived potential we had of the fear in the first place. In fact, I found out that scientific studies go on to show us the same. In a recent study conducted in 2012, performed by the National Institute of Mental Health, data was collected on statistics about fear and worry. Through a scientific study, this is what the data unearthed in regards to the things that we fear most in this life. Check this out, Chandler Church. In regards to the things that you and I fear most in this life, number one, the study unearthed that 60% of them will never ever take place. That of the things we fear most in this life, 30% of them actually took place in the past and cannot be changed. Of the things that you and I fear most in this life, we find, the study said, that 90% of those things are considered insignificant by other people. And of the things that we fear most in this life related to our health, the study discovered that 88% of our health-related fears will never occur in our lifetime. Amazing, is it not? And despite all the statistics showing why you and I should not be afraid, why is it, Chandler Church, that we decide to yield ourselves to fear instead of faith? You know, you've heard the acronym before. I hope you have. If not, check it out today. Fear can be this. It is false evidence appearing real. Do you believe that today? I would like to make it a little bit more simple from a theological perspective, distill it down to say this. Fear, simply put, is this: believing in what the devil says more than what God told you. You see, beloved, the adversary of men's souls propagated his very first lie in the Garden of Eden when he got women and men to doubt the dictates of God and to place their trust in a testimony other than that which our Heavenly Father had given to us. The devil got our first parents to doubt that implicit trust and total obedience to God was that which was in their best interest. And in doing so, the direct result is that man became afraid of God. after the fall of man, we see a God of grace, a God of love, a God of compassion running in the Garden of Eden after his fallen, broken children, seeking them, asking them where they are, what they had done, and if they're okay. And the response of Adam is this to our God in Genesis 3, verse 10. I heard you in the garden, and I was what? I was scared for the first time in existence. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. But still, the God we know, the God we love, shortly thereafter, this God, he gives to Adam and Eve a promise, the promise of a coming Christ, a coming Messiah, a coming Redeemer, a Savior that would bring deliverance to our entire human race. And hundreds of years later, we see the first step in the promise of that fulfillment when this same God appears to the faithful father, Abraham, and in both instituting and reaffirming his covenant to humankind, he makes this promise to Abraham, the father of the faithful, that he would have a miracle child, that through his lineage all nations of the earth would be blessed. And at the inception of that blessing, he started it with these words that were read so well by our kids from the East Valley Educational Center, Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. God came and he speaks these words. The Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, and God said this as he starts the covenant promise, do not be what? Don't you be scared. Don't you be scared of anything. Do not be afraid, Abram, for I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord, the faithful word of Jesus, it came to Abram again, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, Abram, look now toward heaven, and I want you to count the stars if you are able to number them. And God said to Abraham, so shall your descendants be. Verse 6, the passage concludes that Abraham did this one wonderful work. He did this one wonderful task. Verse 6 says this, that he believed God. He believed God. And God counted it to Abraham for righteousness. Can you say amen? Now check this out, Chandler Church. In the flow of this passage and portion of Scripture, the promise to Abram that God would be his shield was a particularly appropriate in that it came after these things. That is, after Abraham's conquest of the king of Elam and the other kings who were with him who had taken Abraham's nephew Lot captive. And you Bible scholars out there, you'll recall that after that victory, it's when Abraham affirmed that he wanted no sort of continuing political alliance with those kings. He didn't want the treasure, the gold, or any sort of alliance with the king of Sodom or his kind. And thus it is that we see in this passage that Abraham was being asked by God to believe this. To believe that having the Lord to act as his shield was a much better proposition than to rely on political support or military strength. Do you believe that today? Now, Abraham, who we know as the father of the faithful, he did not respond with a passive acceptance of the vision at first, but rather with the question, God, what are you going to do for me, seeing that I go childless? As Abraham looked at the militaries and the kings around him with numbers and heirs and strength, Abraham was, in fact, afraid. Afraid that the promise that all the families of our earth would be blessed through him did not involve him having a son of his own. But as it pertains to Abraham's fear, as Jesus looked into his heart and discerned that which was already happening within his soul. Notice these three things about our passage of reflection today. First and foremost, number one, God does not want Abraham to be afraid for anything at all. Can you say amen? Number two, because this, God will be his protection as a shield. And number three, because God will be the provision for all of his needs. And we are told at the culmination and the conclusion of the passage for reflection we just read that Abraham believed what Jesus said. He believed him. And Jesus counted it to Abraham for righteousness. Hallelujah. Here's the question, Chandler Church. Do you and do we believe the same? Do we fear not the stresses and strains of this life because we have officially made Jesus Christ our protection, our provision, our strength? When our marriages are on the line and starting to fall apart, do we go first and foremost to the God that the Hebrews named El Elohim, the covenant maker, and ask Elohim to strengthen the covenant between ourselves and the one that we love? When the finances start falling apart and we can't meet the bills, do we go to the God that the Jews knew as Yahweh Jireh, the Lord our provider? And do we ask the owner of a cattle on 1,000 hills to provide for us that which we are starting to lack? When we get sick and our bodies start to break down, do we go to the God that the Hebrews knew and understood as El Kwana, the God who is concerned? And do we say, God, my body is starting to break down. I need you to draw near to me with your healing hand. I affirm you as my great physician. Chandler Church, do we believe today, as Abraham at the end of our passage believed, that in every circumstance, in every situation we can face, we do not have to fear at all? Because God is our protection, God is our provider, God is our shield, and God is our great reward. See, Chandler Church, in this great controversy between Christ and Satan, we have one of two options. Number one, we can believe in who God is and what he says he can do, thereby placing our faith and our trust in him. Or number two, we can believe in what the devil tells us and turn our trust into doubt, thereby relying on something other than God. Here's what I've seen. Here's what I've observed here in this world. You see, I believe demonic forces play with our minds to push, to promote, and to promulgate ideas that instill in us insecurity and fear. And once that insecurity and fear is instilled within us, the devil, he does not leave us there. He proceeds to try and help us out. But as he proceeds to try and help us out, he gives us an alternative solution to our problems other than that of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants to help us out, just like he wanted to help Jesus in Jesus' three trials and temptations, to give us something other than God. But in doing so, he puts a subtle and deceitful alternative as the answer. Sometimes it's something adequate, it's something practical, it's something reasonable. Sometimes it's far more glamorous or enticing, like money, power, fame, sex, or drugs. But whatever it is he offers as consolation to our fears, it is not God. And getting us to utilize his solution instead of that which God prescribed, the devil wins, because here's what he does, Chandler. He gets us to fear less. Hear me now today. But fearing less is not the same as fearing not. Can you say amen? You see, you'll understand this more clearly as you recall the problem that Abraham and Sarah got themselves into as they awaited the fulfillment of God's promise given to Abraham. You see, because of the apparent delay, Sarah decided to encourage her husband, Abraham, to have sexual relations with her handmaiden, Hagar, in order that they might have a child as their heir. Sarah began to doubt God's miraculous power to do what he said, so she tried to fulfill God's promise herself with the temporary fix of getting her husband to sleep with her female servant. This was Sarah's bright idea. This was Sarah's human initiative to fulfill God's promise to her family by doing some dysfunctional, subpar action as opposed to allowing the God of all creation to work in her life. And Chandler Church, I would submit to you today that these fear-based mistakes that we all make, they do a disservice to the work of God in our world, and they cause skeptics to pose questions like, did God make man or did man make God? And so it was for Sarah that it is for us today, Chandler, that our quick fix, patchwork solutions we undertake, done primarily out of fear, doubt, and disbelief, in contrast to the miracle that God wants to work in our lives, they perpetuate the problems in our families, in our relationships, and in our world right now today. You Bible scholars out there recall that later on in that passage, in that chapter of Genesis, later on when a divine messenger comes to confirm the promise of Isaac to Abraham and Sarah, while Sarah is listening to the very words of God being spoken to them, that she laughs at the message of God. She laughs at the message of her having a child by divine providence late in life. And when God himself, when Jesus confronts her about her attitude, her faith, and her disposition, the Bible tells us this in Genesis chapter 18, verse 15, that Sarah was what? She was scared. She was afraid, so she lied to Jesus and said, I did not laugh. Chandler Church, how many of us today go through our Christian experience hiding, fearing, or living a lie? How many of us are not living by confidence in the covering of God's covenant? How many of us are missing out on the miracle because in the apparent delay, in the interim, in our fear, we settle for second best? You know, Chandler Church, I don't watch TV all that much, but when I do, I have come to realize that the world preys on our fears and insecurity. I don't get to watch TV all that much, but when I do, I realize the world preys on our propensity to settle for second best. I've discovered on television that panic is profitable, and everything you and I watch, everything we listen to, is aimed at trading a solution to our fear in exchange for our hard-earned dollar. You see, every now and then on a Sunday, I'd like to turn on the television and maybe catch a game of my beloved Chicago Bears, where I'm from. And when I turn it on, I realize this, and it makes me sick to my stomach. That I can't go 10 minutes, not 10 minutes, without a commercial for a product that makes us more at peace, more popular, or more potent. Right, men? Huh? I want to speak to the men for a moment because modern media is preying on our fragile male egos. And the medical industry is selling to us drugs that suggest we'll turn into sexual supermen. And at the end of the commercial, it tells us it will cause us heart attack, it will cause us high blood pressure, it will kill us. But for 5 minutes on a Saturday night. Listen to me, men. Abraham didn't need Cialis. All he needed was a connection to the living God. And what God is giving to us is free of cost. While modern media tells us at every commercial, if you just buy this beer, if you just buy this drug, you'll be more pretty, you'll be more popular, you'll be more potent, and you can fear less. God comes into our lives and he says, you fear not. Not many people enjoy going to the doctor. And in 1994, one London accountant took that fear to the extreme. You see, that 63-year-old man went to a doctor, and the doctor diagnosed him as needing gallbladder surgery. But he had a fear of doctors and a fear of hospitals, an anxiety of the medical profession so strong he could not overcome it. So in his fear and foolish self-reliance, he did what he felt he had to do, and he performed the surgery himself in his home. True story. Tragically, the 63-year-old accountant got an infection and he died. And when the coroner went over his body, he said that this man's homemade drastic surgery went wrong. A simple operation would have solved the problem. And I submit to you today, Chandler Church, that just as many of us don't trust doctors or hospitals, even worse, we don't trust God. And like that London man, in our self-reliance, we destroy ourselves. See, Chandler, for every innate and inherent fear that man has, Jesus has a solution. And his solution is not to fear less. His solution helps us fear not. Take a look, Chandler Church, at this top 7 list of phobias in the world today. These are the top fears in our world today. Number 1 is public speaking. I'm nervous right now. Amen? But listen what Jesus said to me as I was preparing for this sermon last night. Jesus said this to me in John 14:26. He said, Shane, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. I don't have to fear less. I can fear not. The second biggest fear in our world today is death. Jesus told me this in Revelation 1:18. I am he that is alive and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, I have the keys of death and hell. I don't have to fear less. I can fear not. The third biggest fear in our world today is spiders. But Jesus told us this in Luke 10:19. I will give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, creepy crawly things, and all over all the power of the enemy. And nothing, Jesus said, shall by any means hurt you. I don't have to fear less. I can fear not. The fourth biggest fear in our world today is darkness. Jesus speaks to that fear. And he says in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Our fifth biggest fear is of heights. Pastor Shane doesn't like that. And the Bible says this to Pastor Shane in Isaiah 40:31. Shane, if you hope in the Lord, he will renew your strength. And although you're afraid of heights, you are going to soar on wings like eagles. You will run and you will not grow weary. You will be satisfied as you walk and not be faint. The sixth biggest fear in our world is people. I get scared of people. I'm an introvert. But Jesus said this in John 16:33. In the world you will have tribulation from people, but take heart. No matter how many people are in the world, I have overcome the whole thing. Amen. Last but not least, our biggest fear is of flying. The seventh fear is of flying. My Bible promises this to me, Chandler. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, one day we're all going to fly. The Bible says, and we which are alive and remain, we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and I'm going to fly high with Jesus. Can you say amen? No matter what it is, no matter what fear, no matter what thing gives you anxiety, hurt, heartache, or worry, Jesus has an answer and a solution. And the solution is not to fear less. It is to fear not at all. As we close today, beloved, for those of you who are battling fear and anxiety, as we close today, I want to give you 5 steps to overcoming that fear and having deliverance in your life. If you have a pen and a paper, if you're going to write this back on the back of your note or your bulletin, take down these 5 steps. They're from the latest minds in mental health. And they say this: here are the 5 steps, beloved, to overcoming fear in our life. God calls for us to fear not And even in the midst of that call to Abraham, Jesus saw that Abraham still had a bit of apprehension. Jesus had to work with Abraham where he is. And for those of you who are growing from fear to strength, here are the five steps that this modern medical ministry science field suggests for us. Number one, the first step to overcoming fear is acknowledging it. Number one, we have to acknowledge when we are afraid. See, very often we get afraid and we say, I'm frustrated, or I'm under stress, or I'm tense. If we are fearful and unbelieving, beloved, we have to be honest with ourselves, honest with God, and acknowledge that. Amen? If you are starting to feel or have fear, you have to acknowledge and be honest about it. Number two is this. The modern mental science field says this. If you are afraid and you want to overcome it, you must quantify that fear. That means, number two, don't say, I'm worried, I'm anxious, or I have trepidation. Be honest with yourself about what it is and say, I am afraid, I am scared, or I am terrified. And then they suggest that on a scale of 1 to 10, you acknowledge that, because when you start the process of acknowledging how afraid you are, you can then manage it. Number three, this is the third step they say to overcoming fear. Number three is that we have to imagine the worst case scenario of our fear or phobia. Imagine the worst case scenario. That is, think about the worst possible thing that could happen in that circumstance, bring it into our consciousness, and then see how much of that is based upon reality. And the reality that we find is the vast majority of our fears are based on how we feel about ourselves, as opposed to how someone else feels about us. Very often we're afraid to do things because we say, they'll think I'm dumb, or they'll think I'm weak, or they'll think I'm stupid, or they'll think I'm not attractive. People will dislike me. And when we usually admit these fears to someone else, they'll say, I have no idea what you're talking about. They're innately in us. Number four, the fourth step is that you have to gather information, support and confront, and then dissipate the fear. Gather information, confront, and then dissipate the fear. That is where we use the intelligence that God has given us. This is where we use the deductive reasoning that God has given us. This is where we apply our fact-based assessment of that it is which we are facing and say, what are the facts about my fears and why I am afraid? And once we do that, we more often than not find, as the statistics showed early on in our message today, that most of our fears are unfounded. Last but not least, the final step, they say, rejoice in our victory. Amen? And friends of mine, when we take a step back to step four, when we inform ourselves, when we assess the situation that we're fearing, and we confront it with the Word of God, like we showed just a few moments ago, we see that in every instance we could be afraid of, we don't have to fear less. We can fear not because Jesus Christ has given us the victory. Do you believe that today? Today, Chandler Church, as we celebrate our communion service, we celebrate what Jesus Christ has done for us and the victory that he has won for you and I at the cross. And today, as we rejoice in that victory, as we do this in remembrance of Christ, taking the emblems of his body and the emblems of his blood, affirming that there is nothing too hard for our Lord and Savior, we acknowledge that the only thing we have to fear is fearing itself. Can you say amen today? Amen.